You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I do like those long breaks at the end of each hour. It gives us a chance to collect ourselves. I was talking so much in the first hour with Richard and then Kevin at the top of the second. I had to go up into the green room here at the radio station and get a bottle of water. When I get home tonight, it's definitely going to be a big glass of sweet tea and soothe those vocal cords. I mean, this is a performance every night here on the Political Cesspool, folks. Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. As we told you, Confederate History Month's over, but we always salute our boys in gray, whether it's April or not. And a little parting shot, I guess, a little overflow from what we had done in the previous 4 weeks. And by the way, we hope you enjoyed our coverage of Confederate History Month. We got a lot of positive feedback from that, and that's always good and encouraging. But one thing that I had intended to do last week was play a particular song for a gentleman who is a contributor of this show. I left the CD and didn't have it with me when I got to the radio station last week, but we have rectified that this evening. And so what we have here is a special, I believe it's an electric guitar version of Dixie. And it's by, again, a fan of the show, very talented guy. Maybe we'll have him jam there at the banquet in Memphis this fall. Let's play it first. We're going to play this. I should say before we play it, there is a musical prelude, an instrumental prelude before you get to the rendition of Dixie that you're about to hear. It's all good. We can't play it all tonight, but we'll play the juiciest part. And then we're going to let Eddie chime in on what it means to be a Southerner, and then we're going to move on to other matters, including what John Kerry said that's got him in some hot water this week. Let's play that song. It's actually not Dixie. It's Never Forgotten, and it's on the Good Versus Evil CD. It's available on iTunes. It has 9 tracks, all produced, arranged, performed, recorded, mixed, and engineered by the same individual. Very talented musician, fan of the show, great guy. It says here in the notes of the CD, for reading this in English, thank a veteran. Portions of the proceeds from this disc are donated to those who needs it, and he means it because he donates to this show. And my wife and I were actually listening to that CD in the kitchen before I came down to the radio station. We were picking up a little bit earlier today, and by the way, I mentioned at the top of the show, 8 years of marriage. I was reflecting on that 8-year anniversary on Monday for me. All right, Eddie, what'd you think of the song, and what's it mean to you to be a Southerner? We got a couple of minutes before we get back to contemporary politics.
Well, it sounded close enough to Dixie to me, so I'll just call it Dixie. I don't know what that guy calls it, but it sounded Dixie to me. I'm very proud of being a Southerner. I know it's probably a cliche, but I used to have a T-shirt. Well, actually, it was a long sleeve shirt that my sister gave me. It said, "America by birth, Southern by the grace of God." And James, to kind of parrot what you said sometimes before, you said that you feel like you won the genetic lottery, being born Anglo-Saxon. Well, I feel like I've been born, you know, winning the geographic lottery by being born in the South. Even though we have less financial assets than probably the rest of the country in some ways, although that could be debated. But, you know, the South has been proven over and over to be more religious, to be more Christian. I talked to the people, you know, at the St. Jude Marathon in Nashville. We get people there from all over the United States, some from all over the world. And they commented upon that, how many churches that they saw in Nashville and how many churches there are in general in the South, because we have the marathons here, you know, in Atlanta and in Memphis. And I saw some people from, I don't remember which state. It was one of the northeastern states, but I think they said, I'll just say Connecticut. They're all kind of the same to me, but they said that people just don't go to church up there. They're just not as religious there as they are here. But you know, the South has always been that way. I feel like that we stood during the war between the states, and I'm not trying to fight the Civil War again, but I feel like the South was really fighting more for what they believed in. They were fighting to defend the home and hearth, defend their families, their wives and children and ancestors and their land. They were fighting for their Christian beliefs. Very few soldiers on either side owned slaves. As many slaves were owned by the Northerners as were by the South. Matter of fact, Grant had slaves. General Grant had slaves. And going back to what these young soldiers I saw at the marathon at the Health and Fitness Expo, I noticed that a majority of them that I spoke to, well, I say a majority, probably 12 to 15, no more than 20 when I was there, but at least 50, 60% of them, you could tell they were from the South. They had Southern accents. And believe it or not, I thought about that. I said, you know, this is kind of like the Civil War, you know, 150, 60 years ago, whatever, when the ranks, you know, the Southerners were always very patriotic. They joined to fight. Most of them probably no hope of victory. And they got paid very little compared to the northern their northern counterparts. They were, you know, equipped miserably. The food rations were pitiful. The clothing was substandard. But yet they fought on and on and on, and came close to actually winning the war. I take pride in the Southerner people having that character, that gut character, because I think they really were fighting for something. You know, unlike a lot of the Northerners that come in, and indeed a lot of the foreigners that Lincoln was bringing in to fight against the South. I mean, the guy was recruiting people from all over, you know, the world to fight against the Southerners. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, James pointed out one time on the show quite some time ago that I believe that Lee said if he'd have known just how great the lengths that the North had gone to try to beat the South, how criminal they were, and how, I'm going to say, satanic flat out, that he would have fought to the last man. And James has told me that that's true. And people, I hate to say this, it looks like we're having to go to another break. We will come back with some dynamite stuff right after we come back to the break.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so John Kerry slipped up and for once accidentally told the truth. He made mention of the fact that Israel is, in fact, an apartheid state. And you can imagine the reaction that that got from his bosses. There was a lot of stories about this. I picked the one from CNN. One story is as good, or in this case, as bad as the other. Here it is. John Kerry wasn't the first to use the A word, apartheid, when talking about Israel, and he likely won't be the last, CNN writes. Even some Israeli leaders have mentioned that the word basically just means separate in describing the eventual result if a Jewish state had Palestinian minority in some areas, such as what currently exists in the West Bank. A Palestinian majority. However, the U.S. Secretary of State touched a diplomatic live wire last week when he predicted an apartheid situation if Israel and the Palestinians failed to agree on a two-state solution for their decades-long conflict. This is where the plot thickens, and I know Eddie wants to talk about this. Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, a Tea Party favorite and possible presidential candidate, called for Kerry's resignation, while pro-Israel groups accused America's top diplomat of inappropriate language and insensitivity for what, speaking the truth, they are an apartheid state. The backlash reflected both the hyper-partisanship of U.S. election year and the high stakes of Middle East peace talks. He was also condemned by Senator Rand Paul. Kerry, in response, said that he had issued a statement saying that he used the wrong word. In a closed-door meeting with his superiors in the Trilateral Commission of private sector leaders from North America, Europe, and Asia, Kerry said, "I will not allow my commitment to Israel be questioned by anyone for political purposes." Okay, so here's what I take about it. First of all, I love how the GOP, so-called conservative leaders, you know, there is a competition that exists between everybody in Washington and in the media, who can pander to minorities the most and who can show their slavish devotion to Israel the most. And Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are certainly in the running to be the victors of that race. But I love how they once again rise to the occasion to prove how they are so subservient to the Zionist state. And as Brother Nathaniel Kapner has pointed out, and Brother Nathaniel Kapner was born Jewish and he converted to Orthodox Christianity. He's been a guest on this show several times. Nathaniel Kapner said, you can denounce and even lie about any country you like, but if you tell the truth about Israel, you risk putting your political career on the ropes. They jumped all over Kerry with Abe Foxman of the ADL and AIPAC at the lead, and Eric Cantor of the GOP lost no time in demanding that Kerry apologize again for speaking the truth. And apologize Kerry did. Some call it groveling, but State Department spokeswoman Jen, I can't even pronounce her last name, P-S-A-K-I, said Kerry was simply underlining the need for a two-state solution. But the Defense Department's, or rather the State Department's defense of Kerry fell on deaf ears as the two leading suckers up to Israel, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, got in the race to get the Jew vote of the 2016 presidential election. Kerry plays into the hands of anti-Semites and must resign, Cruz told Fox News. And again, not to be upstaged, Rand Paul countered Kerry's gaffe by saying, by introducing his Stand With Israel Act of 2014, devised to cut off any U.S. aid to Palestinians. Isn't it interesting, Eddie, to watch the Sharks eat their own?
You know, it's the same song, 58th verse, James. It certainly is. I was just telling James during one of the breaks that I've seen the mighty Rand Paul, this great paragon of conservative virtue, the wonderful Ted Cruz. And I've seen friends of mine, the belong to the Campaign for Liberty, they talked about how wonderful these people are. They're going to lead us out of the darkness, man, progressivism of Marxism. They're going to lead us back to conservatism here in America. And I, being a little bit more hip to what's going on in the world, you know, I try to guide them. And this article just came out just with the other day, James, and it proved, listen, I was telling James during the break, I've seen Rand Paul. I've seen these congressmen, these senators. Name me one United States senator, I'd ask James. He couldn't. I couldn't either. That has not gone to the Wailing Wall over there in Israel and put on their little yarmulke, their little Jew boy hat that I wore to church about a month ago. And they go over there and see, it's all a photo op, people, because they know what I know, what James knows, what Sam knows. They know what you know, that if you're going to run for high political office in this country, a congressman, especially a senator or a president, you cannot cross the Jews because they have the money. It's that simple. And they do have an apartheid state. Anybody with one brain cell left, they know that Israel is an apartheid state greater than South Africa ever hoped to be. You know, go there. Like I tried to point out to some of my brethren, some of my more dim bulb friends at church, go to Israel. Go to Tel Aviv and get out on the street and get you a Bible, get you a King James Bible, or get you a Geneva Bible. Go out there and start trying to recruit and convert people over to Christianity. See what happens to you. You'll wind up in jail before a Catholic is behind. That's exactly what happened to you. It goes on all the time. They despise Jesus Christ over there. They hate Christians. And it is an apartheid state, and they get by with it. I've seen the bulldozers bulldoze Palestinian villages over there. I've seen them round up old ladies, women over there, worse than our TSA does in this country here. But, yes, John Kerry, and I was telling James this during the break, I can't figure out why on earth John Kerry did this. Is this some kind of a... Are they trying to preempt some worse news that's coming up? Is he playing along with Obama? Is he playing along with John Boehner, who helped to cover up the Benghazi thing? Why did he come out and do that? He's not stupid, I don't think. Surely God is not that stupid to come out and buck the international Zionist Jews, because, you know, the United States is run by Israel. It's run by the Jews. It's run by AIPAC. They have the money. It's been proven over and over and over again. Why would he come out and attack them? I don't know. Now, this is my own little theory. I'm thinking that he's going to fall on his sword for the greater good of the Sodom on the Potomac in Washington, D.C. I was just telling James and Sam during the break, this article caught my eye, and this is what I'm referring to, is he's falling on his sword to cover up something worse. And I could qualify worse, because nothing's ever going to happen. Nothing's ever going to come of what, no matter what Washington, D.C. does. But this article came to my eye. It says, why the White House is desperate to bury Benghazi. This article came out May the 2nd. Okay, got this, came off of InfoWars, Paul Joseph Watson. I'm just going to read some of it, and then we're going to talk about it. Because frankly, folks, I don't read that good, but hey, you'll have to put up with it for a minute. Hope I, hey, please put up with it. I'm not going to get too arrogant. Here goes the article. Amidst new revelations concerning emails that show the Obama administration conspired to create a phony narrative around the Benghazi attacks, the true purpose behind the cover-up being obfuscated, the fact that an annex near the U.S. embassy was being used by the CIA to transfer surface-to-air missiles to Syria. You get that, people? I'm going to run that by again. The CIA was using an annex near the embassy, United States Embassy in Benghazi, to use that as like a little warehouse transferring arms to Al-Qaeda, including surface-to-air missiles, people. These are the missiles that take down planes. These jihadists are threatening. They're saying they're going to come over here and use these missiles against us. All right, well, see, the White House, the State Department, had been busted wide open in this cover-up. It goes on to say House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa today being May the 2nd, issued a subpoena for Secretary of State John Kerry to testify before the committee on May 21st. They're going to have a committee on May 21st about Benghazi. Following the release of emails by Judicial Watch, which show that the White House crafted a deceptive policy to falsely frame the attack as a spontaneous protest sparked by a YouTube video in order to protect Barack Obama's image. The YouTube video they're referring to, people, we're going to have to come back. Once again, we're going to one of these breaks. We got to pay some bills around here, people. Even we are behind on our bills. Even this break's not going to cover it all. But we got to go get a few pennies and dimes there. We're going to come back to this dynamite article here. If we don't have time to cover it all tonight, we will do it next time. We'll check in a minute.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, James Edwards here, tossing it right back over to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, remind the folks what we're talking about and where we go from here.
Folks, we're coming back. We were talking before the break. We were talking about the White House, how they were desperate to bury the Benghazi crisis there. And we were gone down to House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa. We talked about how he issued a subpoena on May 2nd for the Secretary of State John Kerry to testify before a committee, congressional committee, on supposed to start up in May 21st about Benghazi. And what prompted that was a release of emails by the Judicial Watch showing that the White House crafted a very deceptive policy to falsely frame the attack on the Benghazi. Ambassador there when Ambassador Stevens was actually killed. And we'll get to him. It's another theory I got on that. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I'd like to get to this here. Here's the crux of the matter. They found out that the United States, the State Department, the CIA, have been using, they've been hiring these Al-Qaeda offshoot organizations. One of the most violent around is that they call them the February 17th Martyrs Brigade. They were using them to defend the Benghazi mission months before the attack. Well, so you see, I don't know how much we talked about on this show, but the United States have been working with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, going all the way back to the 70s and 80s. You know, we had Colonel Bo Grice in here back, years ago, with Jane Hood, back in 04, 05. We heard Colonel Bo Grice talking about how he went in, and he was in Afghanistan, and he helped train the Mujahideen. When, Mujahideen, if I'm pronouncing that right, they kind of morphed into Al-Qaeda and some of these other terrorist groups. But Al-Qaeda, they were some bad dudes. Well, see, the United States, here's where you get this 1984 stuff. Supposedly, Al-Qaeda is our sworn enemy. These terrorist groups that we're always fighting, we're always fighting terrorism and terrorists. Well, the United States, with the full knowledge, the CIA, with the full knowledge of the White House, has been busted. They know. Not only have they known about this program of using, giving American arms, transferring American arms to terrorists over here in the Middle East, Benghazi being one of them, they've been using these terrorists to go in into destabilized countries like Libya and to overthrow countries like Libya, like they just did, overthrew Colonel Gaddafi when Colonel Gaddafi was one of the CIA's own. He was one of their boys, just like Saddam Hussein was one of CIA's boys. But they use them, they get through with them, they know too much, they may think they get too big for their britches, but they have to do away with them. Well, right here, what we're talking about is this, they've been busted dealing arms in, with the terrorists. And I think we mentioned before the break, they even have surface-to-air missiles. Now, we talked about this a little bit on another show. I don't know how much is true, but this Ambassador Stevens over there in Benghazi, he was going along with the CIA in recruiting. He was actually helping to recruit these Al-Qaeda terrorists. But when he balked, where he stopped on the line, he didn't want to give them these surface-to-air missiles because he foresaw the possibility coming to pass that these jihadists, being the fanatics that they are, would come to the United States. They would come to the United States, bring some of these surface-to-air missiles, and wreak havoc in this country. And that's just what's happening now. Some of these jihadist people are saying, once we get through with you, once we get through here in Benghazi and these other areas here in the Middle East, when we get through there, we're going to turn our weapons on you that we've got from you, you idiots. It's just like, it kind of reminds me of what the communists said back in the 20s and 30s, that when they get ready to hang the capitalists in the United States, James, they said that the capitalists would bid on the rope. They would have a bidding war on the rope to sell the communists in Russia, that the communists were going to use rope. They're going to buy the rope from the United States, from the capitalists in the United States to hang the capitalists. The capitalists will have a bidding war to see who could get to sell the rope that the communists are going to use to sell them. But people, we were talking about before the break also that this Daryl Issa, who I had great hopes for a year ago when they had the Fast and Furious hearings, congressional hearings going on. What we have here, like I was telling James and or Sam at the break, this is the way Papaw sees it. I see we have a Fast and Furious on steroids, Fast and Furious being here in the southern, southeastern United States at Texas-Arizona border. What we have here, we have an introduction of these surface-to-air missiles. To the best of my knowledge, the surface-to-air missiles were never mentioned during Fast and Furious when the American Black Ops, the CIA, the DEA, the other Border Patrol, when they were using, they were taking tractor-trailer loads of military-grade hardware, arms. When I say hardware, I mean machine guns, grenade launchers, etc. They were taking those into Mexico to get the drug wars, to get the drug lords Russia to start a war. These people want this. They want this chaos down there on the border. And they were trading all these military, they being the American Black Ops, they were trading all this military-grade hardware for drugs. They're bringing the drugs back in the United States, giving them to people like the Bloods and the Crips, with the Bloods and the Crips are kind of like distributorships, corporations, kind of like Hohen Chevrolet here in America, Hull, Dobbs, Ford. They just distribute the drugs to the CIA. Well, see, I got to make this fast. All right, the Black Ops people on the border, they wanted as much chaos and much terror down there as they could. That way the American people would come in and say, the federal government's got to do something to protect us. We got to do something. We got to get rid of the Second Amendment. We got to get rid of your private arms. You know, we can protect you, but you're going to have to give up certain freedoms. Well, we got kind of like that, a first cousin of that, Fast and Furious is going on in the Mideast right now. And see, the Black Ops organization of the United States and Britain in on it too, over there trying to destabilize countries, throwing countries' leaders overboard. We see that with Hussein and Colonel Gaddafi and on since the 40s and the 50s. And now you're seeing it popping up. It's spreading into into the Ukraine. I'm having a 67-year-old minute. And like I said earlier, I'm not totally sure if this Ukrainian thing is not a false flag. I don't know how much that the Russians are playing in, Vladimir Putin is playing in on this. That's just pure speculation. I'm not going to speculate there too much. But I do know that's going on. And I do know that Daryl Issa is getting ready to have this big, flowery, long-winded congressional hearing over there. And we predicted, the cesspool, Liberty Roundtable, I predict this on air, that nothing is going to happen. No one will go to jail. Now, they may get a little peon here, too, you know, like some little Washington staffer. I don't know. I doubt it. But the same thing will happen in Fast and Furious. It was proven beyond a shadow of 15,000 doubts that the White House, the Attorney General, everybody and his mama were caught knowing full, with their full knowledge, dealing drugs in the Fast and Furious on the Mexican border, dealing hard military arms. That was proven. Nothing happened. No one went to jail. The same thing is going to happen with this Benghazi cover-up congressional hearing. The same thing is going to happen. Nothing. No one's going to jail. Nothing. And with that right there, I set that up. I'm going to see if my little son boy over here, my son and fellow brother in arms, see if he has anything to say about that.
I think you gave a good breakdown of it. This is something that's definitely in your wheelhouse. You know, each of us here on the staff are certainly ideological brothers, but we all have our, I guess, signature issues. We all share the same signature issues, but you certainly have a fancy for stories like this, and I know you were talking about it off the air in the break and having those hopes for Congressman Daryl Issa with what he was appearing to do with the Fast and Furious. Nothing came of that. You don't think anything will come of this either, and it's good. It's good to have this variety in the show. We talk about different things from time to time. This is certainly the kind of story that you're passionate about. And with you being out last week, running in that marathon, I wanted to give you a couple of segments here just to, we talked about it earlier on the phone when we were charting the course and hammering out the agenda for tonight's show, give you a couple of segments just to work in anything you wanted to work in, just bring it to the studio. We'll make time for it. And now we have, and it's important that each of us have those segments just to ourselves. And I certainly had it last week, and opening tonight's show being solo in the studio. And it's good to just have an opportunity to get all that out and work through things that you'd wanted to talk about. And this show is always so crowded. It's always so busy with what we talk about. We don't always have the time to talk about the things that we want to talk about.
Oh, people, I'll tell you what you can do now. Now you can go, hey, and before I get to that, I guarantee you by the time the next presidential election goes around, that witch Hillary Clinton is going to be probably leading the leading candidate for the Democrats. It wouldn't matter if she... People, we got to talk about this when we come back. We got to go to one more break, and I guess this will be the final break of the hour. We got to come back, and we're going to talk about the glory of this, this wonderful conservative, this paragon of virtue, John Bonier.
We'll be back with it, folks, and maybe even hear from Peter Scoopstan. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We've got our very good friend and family member Peter Scoop Stanton waiting on the line. We're going to get to him in about 60 seconds after Eddie wraps up this parting shot with the story he's been driving home this hour.
People, I'd just like to bring this out. I think this is very important. We were talking about how Rand Paul and Ted Cruz were traitors a minute ago. Just one of the same with the Democrats. Well, the same thing with the House Speaker, John Boehner. Listen, people, if you think you're going to do any good by going to a Republican and asking for relief on this Benghazi thing, it's with Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is purposely suppressing anything on Benghazi because he knew, John Boehner knew what we found out last week to be true. He knew that there was arms dealing with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations over there in Benghazi in the Middle East. He knew that. How did he know it? Because he was in on it. So forget your little trips and your little letters. That's why I got out of some of the organizations I'm in. I just got tired of licking stamps. I've told James on the air I'll never lick a stamp again as long as I live to mail to another senator or congressman. With that, that's all I wanted to say. This is John Boehner, head Democratic man of the House. He was in on it, and that's it. And now we'll bring those head Republican. That's right, head Republican, Speaker of the House, and he was in on it with his hated enemy. You know, he hates Obama. He was in it with Obama. Obama tried to cover it up, but they didn't make it. And with that, I guess we got a good old little buddy Scoop.
Scoop, take it away, my friend. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, good evening, Suspo family. Tonight here in Washington is the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Did you get to go to that? Did you get as a correspondent for the cesspool? Were you invited?
Well, here's what's happened. I did go to the Washington Hilton, and what it turns out, the issue with me is that you need something called an invitation.
How did we get one?
Well, I don't know. I think it probably got lost in the mail. Anyways, tonight here in Washington is a meeting of Hollywood and Washington, D.C. insiders, which means every prepubescent boy in the D.C. area is running for their lives. Okay, a little about last week, we had the excellent Charlie LaDuff on the political cesspool. And
oh, yeah.
I talked to him this week. He had a great time, and he will be back on. Now, I asked him what he was working on, and...
Well, do you think he could talk about something if he goes back on? Do you think we can get him properly channeled?
I don't know, because if you watch his work, that's the way he is. He likes to take all the conversation.
Well, that wasn't the problem. It was just that when he was talking, we couldn't get him to necessarily... You know, yeah, well, focus maybe, but, you know, there's a lot he could talk about. Now, it doesn't mean that he has to agree with us or that we have to agree with him. But he was ready to party last week, I think, Scoop.
Right, and I've talked to him this week, and I've talked to him before he came on. Just before he came on, he is the life of the party. But anyways, I asked him what he's working on, and I'm going to make an exclusive announcement. He's working on a story with a scandalous politician here in D.C. And yours truly gave him some inside information. I said, do you know where this particular individual lives in D.C.? He said, no. I said, well, he lives in this, you know, very nice neighborhood and that most of us can't afford. But the information is literally public record, so yours truly contributed next to nothing. Now, what I want to do is give you my take on the Donald Sterling fiasco.
Yes, please do. Yeah, it's been the major really, topic tonight.
Right, and real quick, Donald Sterling, he's not elected to any public office. He's not a civil servant, doesn't work for the city, county of Los Angeles, state of California, the federal government. He's not a police officer, he's not a fireman, he's not a correction officer, he's not a teacher. He does not earn his living for the public trust. Now, what he said in private conversation was a setup by his mistress. Now, you may agree with that, you may not, but what the people of Los Angeles should do is either decide to go to the basketball games or not, either buy the Clippers t-shirt or not. And for his players to be so disgusted, well, why don't they just not play and give up any bonuses that they earned in the playoffs? And meanwhile, the media is looking at Donald Sterling, who's just a private citizen, but as usual, ignoring everything else. That's how the media is. They blow up, you know, non-stories, and meanwhile, ignoring like the incompetence of our publicly elected officials.
Hey, Scoop, I'd just like to ask you this question right here. I had earlier. Let me ask you this. You know, we were talking about earlier that, you know, Sterling is Jewish through and through. Why are his fellow Jews turning on him? Why
even Kevin McDonald couldn't answer that.
Yeah, why are they? What's your scoop? Kevin McDonald couldn't answer. Why are they turning on their fellow Jew? Do you have any
idea? Because you got to look at the pecking order. If it's against a Jew versus a black, Jew versus a black, the blacks are going to win. It's like rock paper scissors.
Well, I mean, certainly. Well, look, I mean, the blacks would be the pawns in this, but I think I would say this, Scoop. I would just say, well, we talked about this earlier in the show, Eddie. You might not have been tuned in the first hour, but I mean, it's just a matter of. I mean, certainly the Jews have more power than the blacks. I mean, that's without question. But I would say, you know, if they sacrifice. Well, and Eddie, we were talking during the break. I mean, Donald Sterling might have done something behind the scenes to offend these people, and this has nothing to do with it. And they just used this as the opportunity to finally do him in. We don't know. Who knows for sure? But it's certainly furthering their stranglehold on the suppression of speech that isn't approved by. The powers that be by the regime. But I think you made an excellent observation, Scoop, just a moment ago in your opening statement on that particular story. We'll see, I guess, how it plays out. It's going to be in the court, I guess, for as long as he's alive from here on out at 81 years old. But it's just a sickening thing from start to finish, the way this has been covered, the way the players are showing out, acting, you know, feigning all of this
offense. Fake outrage.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There you go. Thank you. Yes, fake outrage. But what you said when you first shifted the conversation to that, I thought was spot on.
Right, but here's another thing why they're throwing under the bus. He's not in the media. I mean, he's the owner of a professional sports team. He's some sort of real estate individual in some buildings, but he's not in media. If you work for one of the big networks, he'd probably be at the head table at the correspondence dinner tonight.
Well, another thing, I don't know if it was you. No, it was you, Scroob. This was something I wanted to say. You're right. You know, this dominating national news as if it is a story. It is. I said it in my opening statement on this in the first hour, second segment of the first hour. You know, this is supermarket tabloid fodder. This is, you know, tabloid gossip. This is not news, you know, versus the stuff Eddie's been talking about the last couple of segments in this hour. I mean, this is not a news story, but it is the national news story. Whereas in the meantime, you know, how much coverage did the tornado victims in Mississippi and Alabama get this week? You know, the same week that the Sterling thing is causing, as you rightfully called it, so much fake outrage. There are so many more stories out there worthy of news. You know, anything we talk about on this show is much more newsworthy than what you. I mean, this is why this show exists and why it's so popular and why so many people listen to it. It's because we talk about things that no one else will. But this, you know, granted, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Yes, we're talking about the Sterling situation too, but the only reason we're talking about it is to offer a reaction, a response, the likes of which you're not going to get anywhere else.
Hey, Scoop, is Ed again. Hey, let me ask you a question, Scoop. This is one thing that has puzzled me for ever since I was a teenager is I do not understand how well-educated, nice white people will have season tickets, and I pointed this out at church where I go. They have this crow and just strut. They're so proud because they have season tickets to see the Memphis State Tigers, and they have season tickets to see the Memphis Grizzlies. And you'll see, we brought this up on the first earlier tonight. If you look in the stands, if you look in the stadiums, 95% of all the paying ticket holders are white people. They go and see these criminals. James pointed out that there's more criminals. You can't count the felons in these basketball teams. They can't even speak. They can't write. Why do well-educated people go and worship these blacks? And on the other side of the coin, they'll complain about discrimination in the academic arena, like in colleges, you know. But they don't complain about – why do they put up with that, Scoop?
Let me answer that, Scoop. I'll say this. There's nothing wrong – you know, I understand what sports are. It's a departure from daily life. It's a departure from the grind. You lose yourself in entertainment for a couple of hours. There's nothing wrong with that in moderation. There's nothing wrong with enjoying entertainment. But what you have here, and what the problem is with these fans, with a lot of them, is that it especially in college, I think even more in college than in professional sports, it borders on fanaticism, and their whole lives revolve around the wins and losses of these thugs. And not all of them are thugs. I mean, come on, folks. You know, I always have to feel as though I have to make that disclaimer. There are some good, you know, black athletes that I'm sure are decent folks. But, you know, there is a stereotype that exists for a reason. In football and in basketball. You know, so I think when they are much more concerned with the wins and losses of these players or these teams than some of the issues we talk about, their very survival, the fact that they're being discriminated against, the fact they're being dispossessed in their own nation, and this country has anti-white policies. I think when they are more concerned with sports than these serious issues, that's when it becomes malignant. But, you know, if you are concerned with these things as I am, but you still enjoy watching sports for a couple hours a week just to, you know, take a break, that's okay. Sorry, Scoop, I talked all over you there. I love you, brother. We're out of time. For the whole crew here in Memphis and in Utah, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
.org.